on the governor's recommended budget. Linda, good morning, Linda.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm Linda Ames with the Department of Administrative Services. I'm going to do a brief overview on the governor's budget. It's just document.
Thank you, Linda. Yeah, thank you.
First page shows the summary of the of all the budget numbers. As you can see, the governor's recommended budget for general fund is about $143,000. That's an 8.8% increase from the current biennium. Most of that is the funding needed to increase the salary to account for the step increases during the biennium. Other funds have been increased by about 50% to $30,000. That reflects the agency's plans to do more fundraising, especially around the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. This gives them the limitation to spend any additional funds they do raise. And of course, they have the one position, which is the same as it has been. On the third page, you see their total budget is about 82% general fund, 18% other funds. Page four just let note that the general fund portion of the budget is at current service level. It does completely support the director position and then covers limited office expenses. Page five, they just have one program. And page six, looking at their total budget, personal services are 69%, while the services and supplies 31%. If you just look at the general fund portion of their budget, personal services are 83% of the general fund. Page seven, very straightforward. They had no emergency boards. They did have the general salary adjustment. Their budget is current service level is all standard position and inflation and price list items. They have the one policy package 101 Asian Pacific American Heritage Month to add $10,000 other funds expenditure limitation to in anticipation of raising more money for that program. In particular, they would like to expand that program to beyond the Portland area. And finally, on page eight, a summary of their revenue situation. The agency expects to raise about $20,000 this biennium, and most of that is related to the Heritage Month celebrations. They're projecting that to increase to $28,000 during the next biennium. There's one additional revenue issue in this budget I did want to alert you to, because you don't tend to see it in the expenditure side that you look at. The governor's budget does direct the agency to revert to general fund $16,800 other funds, but that were originally state funding. And that came about because in the 97-99 biennium, if you remember, the legislature funded all the advocacy commissions with a little bit of general fund, and then at the last minute passed money through to the advocacy commissions, but through DAS. And by sending the money through DAS, it becomes other funds and does not automatically revert to the general fund. And then that money, they didn't need all the money that they got through DAS because they had the director position vacant during part of that biennium. There was the $16,800 then carried forward as beginning balance into the current biennium. We believe that since it was really general fund, that it in all rights should revert to the general fund. And the governor's budget directs that to happen on July 1st at the beginning of next biennium. That's the conclusion of my summary.
Thank you, Linda. Questions, Senator Dukes?
Yeah, Linda, how confident are you in the $28,000 figure or 30, there's someone here, $30,000. And their approved limitation for this current biennium was $20,000, and they raised $11,000. What are chances, in your opinion, that we can get to those higher numbers?
Madam Chair, Senator Duke, the $11,000 that they've already raised this biennium was really around their first celebration, and they expect to raise another $11,000 this spring as they prepare for their second celebration. So for the current biennium, we think they're around $20,000. I think it's hard to predict. They don't have any solid sources of additional funding, but it seems like it's certainly within the realm of feasible.
Get to at least 22, 23, 24. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Great.
Any further questions of Linda? If not, thank you, Cynthia and Pollen, for your testimony. You did an excellent job. And I would just say that when we first created this commission, when I was in the House in 1995, I had the opportunity to appoint Mr. Higashi, Thomas Higashi. He is retired here in Salem. He was on the commission. He's a dear friend of mine, and I used to work for him. He was the Deputy Corporation Commissioner. And I would just suggest that you might just give him a call and see if he has any ideas. He's very bright, and it would be a Japanese-American person who would be very willing, I think, to give you some guidance and direction, so that might help as well as some of the other suggestions you heard today. Thank you very much.
Where are your vacancies? I mean, and I'm not that familiar with your commission. Is it by area of the state?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, I'm going to address this question. The two vacancies right now, and we're hoping to fill them, are in Congressional Districts 2 and 5. And currently, I have actually been in contact with a Japanese-American woman who lives in the Salem area. She just retired from being a state employee for about 25 years. And so she would be a perfect candidate because she's also been very involved in her own community events. But we have had some difficulties filling those particular areas because of the lack of Asian American population in those particular districts. And you had addressed earlier, or you had questioned earlier about our recruiting, and I want to just kind of address that right now. We've had a lot of interest from qualified candidates to be commissioners on the board, but unfortunately a lot of them reside in Washington and Multnomah counties. So if we can do more recruiting out in District 2 and District 5, I think we'll be able to fill the vacancies.
We have two District 2 people here. If you'd contact Representative Butler or myself, we have I have dear friends in the Asian American community, so we could help you.
I assume your District 1 person is from Portland. Congressional District 1, I assume that your representative is from Portland.
Yeah. We have, I believe, a couple represent District 1 at this point.
Okay, I was just going to remind you that District 1 does go out to the coast, and you have a fairly decent Asian community.
We do have representation.
Senator Dukes represents the North Coast, so if you don't hesitate to ask us to assist you. Representative Hayden?
A couple things, Madam Chairman, if I may. I've enjoyed your presentation, and you don't need to be nervous. We're just a couple of grandpas, probably a couple of grandmas here, you know. New
Thank
grandpas.
You, Senator.
Careful. Providence. I didn't know. I mean, you know, in Oregon, we have a citizen legislature, and we're just really not very important people at all. But we do control a lot of money, so that makes it important, I guess. My question is this. As a young person, my wife and I had the opportunity to travel quite a bit through the Asian, the Pacific Rim countries. And they are so diverse. They're so different, the countries. And how do you as a commission cross those national boundaries and work with so many different groups? And more than that, these are only minority groups in Oregon. You know, on a global basis, the Asian communities are the majority of people, I presume, with probably 3, 4, 5 billion people in the Asian countries. So you're really the majority. But But still, across the national boundaries, there's a lot of tensions. How do you deal with that here as a Commission for Asian Pacific Affairs with so many different interests in that area?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, we believe that that is existing right now. But in the commission itself, we have some commissioners who come from the Middle East, Iran, and we have a Persian commissioner. We have Syrian. During those times of the Gulf War. There's a lot of tension, but we seem to work well within the commission itself, and the communities that they represent are we believe that they are doing well in networking. When I spoke to Senator Lim about the new Senate Bill 950. This was the new mandate to conduct a statewide heritage celebration. He mentioned to me that this would be one way of all these different nationals to get together. And you know, when they get together, the Asians really love to see each other and socialize with each other. This could be, he said, a groundwork for a breaking ground for the different nationalities in this state, that when they see each other and they socialize with each other, they seem to be really doing well with sharing whatever sentiments they have.
So one of your advocacy functions would be to make friends with one another, to break down barriers between, national barriers between.
To network.
Yeah, to network.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, if I may. Yes, you're right. Sometimes there are challenges because we are so different between countries. Just because we're all Asians, it does not necessarily mean that our culture covers, you know, from one region to the other. And of course, even the language barrier is an immense difference. However, I think we all come together on common ground, knowing that this is our one opportunity to be together as one voice. And we realize that apart, we are weaker than if we were to stand together.
Thank you very much. And now we will have the public testimony. We do have quite a few people signed up for the public testimony. So in order for us to hear everyone, if whoever's coming forward first would be sure that we kind of not go over 5 minutes, because when we have to leave for session, we don't want to leave anyone that hasn't had an opportunity to speak. So first we have Peter, former member of Commission on Asian Affairs. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
I didn't try to pronounce your last name. I do not pronounce
it. L-E-A-R-N. Leung. I'm Leunger. Every day.
Okay.
I learn every day. For the record, I'm the former chair of the commission. And now I'm the president of the Corvallis branch of NAACP. NAACP. I'm the president.
And what does that stand for?
NAACP.
Uh-huh.
North America Advancement for the Colored People.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And you are the director there now?
I'm the president.
Okay.
Of the NAACP.
Oh, yes. Okay.
well, I have a testimony here. I don't want to read from the testimony. This is boring to read. So I want to talk. I want to talk two things here about two concepts here. One is nurture. Like a kindergarten kid, a child, it is nurturing. The kid doesn't know how to read, how to write. I have a 5 years old boy. He doesn't know how to read. You know, he doesn't know how to do things. So when the Representative Johnson talking about measurable output, how to reach out to people, to other Asian Americans, well, the Asian Commission might not know a lot how to do that. they are learning. It takes time to learn. Look at the civil rights movement of the black Americans. They learn a lot through the 60s, now, up to now. See how many politicians, how many severe calling power. We have Condi Rice. All those are the result of the nurturing that we have. We give the black Americans opportunity to learn, to grow. I think it's time for us to give the Asian Americans to learn, to nurture them. The Asian Americans are the second largest group in the state of Oregon. At this point, it's two times the population of black Americans in the state of Oregon. Two times. 3.5% of the population of the population here are Asian Americans. If we trust the U.S. Census, 25 years from now, the population of Asian Americans will be three times than the black Americans in the state of Oregon, three times more than the blacks here. I'm in the black organization here, I'm the president of the black organization here. The strength, I found out that by from experience, the strength of the organization of NAACP, and Phil May, everybody knows them, Phil May, everybody knows Julian Bond. The strength is in the national organization. And so the national organization give a lot, say when I talk, when I go to in the state, in the local politics, they say, wow, you're the president. They give a lot of respect. Why? Because of, not because of me, not because of the local branch, but because of the national organization. Because the power rests in the organization. And I think very important part, if we nurture, we empower them, we nurture them, give them opportunity to learn, to grow. That's my my feeling about it. And I visited China 2 years ago. As the chair of the commission, and the Chinese said, wow, we have the Commission on Asian Affairs. That means the Asian people, the Chinese people have some power now, some respect now. They give you recognition. Even the foreign power, China, recognize this, the symbolic meaning. I'm not talking about window dressing, where are you here? I'm talking about how we can nurture the Asian Americans to serve the state of Oregon. Last session, there was a bill to take away the economic development function for the Asian Affairs Commission. I think it's unfair because the Asian Americans can really help the state of Oregon in terms of economic development. There are a lot of Asian people here, Asian American here, that can help this OEDD, but they do not use it. They do not use the resources. They are in the Asian Commission. They are in the Asian Americans here. If I get elected in future, it become a senator, my gentlemen and ladies, I would like to change that. Because this is the resources that we can use in the future if we really nurture them. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. You say you were the former director for the Commission on Asian.
Yes, I was not former director. I was a former chair. Commission chair.
I'm extremely concerned, and we've had some discussion this morning as to why we've had so many turnovers. What do you think is the problem? We've had so many different directors.
Well, the pay scale is very low, and also we hire a wrong guy. You know, it happens. And another thing is we only hire a part-time person because if you didn't have money to pay full-time, how can you expect a part-time person to stay on?
Of course, we have other commissions for other minorities that do, you know, have similar salaries. It's very difficult, but I agree with you. It is difficult and we've got to be wisely spending our money so that we not spend it on rent, but spend it on salaries so we can keep people.
That's right. I agree with the Madam Chair. Remember that the first two executive director was part-time. So turnover should be expected. for a part-time person, they pay $6.60 per hour. You know, because they lower the number of hours they work in the office. They pay minimum wage.
And we would be happy, or I certainly would be happy to hear any ideas you have on the economic development, because that Representative Butler chairs that committee, and if you would share with him as well any ideas you have on the economic development. Any further questions? Senator Dukes.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think the nurturing is very important, and even for those of us who don't come from one minority group or another, to be able to have access to people who can tap into the needs of that group is important to us. You compared it to the NAACP. They don't take public money. They have a huge fundraising effort, and they nearly ended their activities a few years ago because of not so much interest and not so much, and so they reformed themselves. And I think one of the issues, honestly, that we're struggling with is we believe that there's a need out there. Well, why does the need have to be 100% funded by state dollars, which is the budget request that's before us?
Well, when we nurture a child, do we need the child to work? My boys do not work. My boys do not work because they do not know how to work. Well, I agree with you, Senator.
People who do.
I do. Senator Deuce, I think they have their obligation to raise money. I agree with that. But I think this should apply to all the commissions, not only to the Asian Commission.
Absolutely. And we spent quite a bit of time grilling the Women's Commission yesterday on the same issue. So it's not just the Asian Commission.
Thank you, Peter. We appreciate your testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to talk here.
Thank you.
Next, we have Eric from the Quest Technical Staff. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'll ask you to pronounce your last name because I don't want to mispronounce it.
I do that to myself. Tadeo.
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 Easy. Good morning. And introduce yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Yes, I will do that. My name is Eric Tadeo. I'm an employee of Quest Communications, and I work downtown, and I see the things that are going on downtown Portland. I will read my testimony, because if I don't, I get chatty, and we've got to go over the limit.
Well, if you get chatty, you might consider running for public office.
Oh, no, please. But before I do that, I'd like to support, again, the nurturing idea that the gentleman before me mentioned, because I think that's kind of where the Oregon Commission on Asian Affairs, I repeat, the Oregon Commission on Asian Affairs, OCAA.
It's okay. He's okay.
Is where this agency is where right now is needing the nurturing and needing the seed money, if you will, and the force to get started. As he mentioned, you know, 5-year-old that you need to grow and expect to grow later on and be more self-supporting. But I think we're in a so-called infancy or toddler stage right now. It's a privilege for me to come before this body, and it's an honor for me to testify for the Oregon Commission on Asian Affairs. It's been a truism that ethnic and racial discrimination and other defensive and even offensive responses are primarily due to fear of the unknown. People with different looks and behavior tend to instill some discomfort, which in some cases grow into suspicion, dislike, and at times blatant or even violent discrimination, all because of ignorance. Education, information, and exposure will go a long way to remedy this ignorance. The Asian Pacific Heritage Celebration helps educate the community. It educates not just with informational type of knowledge, but it passes on the heart of the cultures through various representations, songs and dances, visual arts, food, language. One can't get this in a classroom. One needs immersion. The Asian Pacific Heritage Celebration is one such opportunity for immersion. This is the more comprehensive and more personal type of learning that transcends mere intellect. what the people celebrate has everything to do with what the people values. The Asian Pacific Heritage Celebration conveys the message that the Asian community that has effectively been marginalized for the large part of the last century is a viable contributor and a valuable part of American society. Such a celebration speaks loudly of the value of diversity. Last year's Asian Pacific Heritage Celebration was a great forward stride in the community's appreciation for cultures and peoples who up to now still have concerns with discrimination, glass ceilings, harassment, condescensions, negative stereotypes, even racial violence. Ceasing this celebration would represent a similar great stride backwards. I submit that the celebration is not for the Pacific Asians necessarily or only. It is for the community at large. It is for everyone. It is for the common good of the community. I made it a point to come to last year's Asian Pacific Heritage Celebration, mostly because I wanted to contribute to the success of the event just by adding my one more warm body to the crowd. So without me, it would have been 1,499, now we're 1,500 of that crowd. Its success was important to me because of its far and future reaching impacts. I do dream that many years from now, when we all stand side by side, hand in hand, in the spirit of mutual respect and equal standing, we, people of diverse heritage, would smile to each other and say, we've reached this state of brotherhood and sisterhood, partly because in the year 2001, we had the courage to celebrate and recognize the value of people of Asian Pacific and other backgrounds, people who would otherwise be subsisting in the fringes of society. We have come a long way, and we still have a long way to go, but I think we agree that there's work to be done. If you don't step up to it and do it, who will? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Thank you for sharing your testimony. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And next we have, I believe it's Alina DeCastro. And you've come from Medford. I'm sorry I didn't get you on first. You may need to go home today, right?
Okay. I'm self-employed, and today is, I considered my day off.
You have a foster home in Medford, and I assume they can manage without you. Is that right?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have a very reliable help.
Be sure and introduce yourself for the record, please, and go ahead.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, Representative Butler, Representative Hayden, Representative Johnson, good morning. I was just smiling back in my chair because of you talking about different backgrounds, and I remember the first time I came to the United States. Being in a school, and I was fortunate enough to reach college, I thought that I was so ready to face the people here, you know, talk to them in English. I was wrong. I remember sitting between two Americans, and one of them said to the other person on my right side, and the person to my right side said, I don't believe you. You're pulling my leg. And I look at them and say, how can she pull your leg when I'm sitting between you, you know? Back home, they did teach us about idioms and figurative speeches. So I'm still learning. But anyway, my name is Elena DeCastro, and I'm from Medford, and I'm an adult foster home provider. I didn't hesitate to come and appear before you, because I know that what I'm doing is important in letting the Commission continue serving all the Asian Americans in the state of Oregon. Many of the foster homes in Medford are owned by Asian Americans, and all of us share one and the same problems and challenges in running the business. Some, if not all of which, are competition because of the mushrooming of assisted living facilities. Client referrals from the state is scarce, and even the state-assisted clients are being placed in the expensive assisted living facilities, and the rent is being subsidized by the government. pay level is higher for assisted living facilities when the amount of work involved in the same is the same as with foster home. And finally, there is a general fear that sooner or later our industry will just fizzle out. The reason why I mentioned this is because this is the very reason why I was happy and enthusiastic that the commission came down to Medford. They did not lecture nor give long speeches, they just listened to us. It gave us hope and relief that some agency in the government will care to listen to issues and concerns important to us. It is true that we can probably get help locally, but you and I know that it will not go anywhere. Allow me to briefly describe to you this outreach meeting in Medford, which was sponsored by the Commission last year. I believe that as legislators, you need to know what this Commission is doing and what impact did it make to our community. When I got the call from Commissioner Mans requesting me and my group to help coordinate the details of the meeting, I started calling people. Indeed, many foster home care providers were interested and attended. We got a good turnout. The meeting elicited good relations among those who attended and was promising to the two existing organizations at the time, which are the Oriental American Association and the Southern Oregon Filipino American Association. These two organizations, like others everywhere, have had differences and disagreements. However, the meeting instilled hope in each one of us who were there. It gave us the opportunity to express freely what would normally be just kept inside and unsaid. It energized all of us that we decided to discuss uniting the two organizations and have only one with one purpose. We have campaigned for increased members, and we are working hard to reach out to more Asian American groups and individuals in our area, as we have seen the example from the Commission's work. As a taxpayer myself, and with the support of several taxpayers in my district too, I would like to ask each one of you to please allow the Commission to continue to function so that they may accomplish the mission and mandate given to them. If we cannot get some kind of financial aid, at least we still need their moral support and guidance. Thank you.
Thank you, Lena. Any questions or comments? Representative Butler.
Thank you very much, Elena. Elena, I note that Medford is in District 2. Have you ever considered serving on the commission or been invited to serve on the commission?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Butler, yes, I have been invited to, but because of the nature of my job, it is very demanding. And just to leave my home for one day will cost me so much money to pay whoever will take care of my foster home.
Thank you.
But you may know people that you could suggest, or we also have... you'll have to come up again if you're going to speak, because clerk will not be able to hear you. I'll tell you, we'll hang around a minute after the meeting's adjourned and visit with you about that. Thank you, Alina, very much for your testimony. Anything else? Next, we have Dr. Villanueva, Principal O'Hara Catholic School in Eugene. Maybe he's not here. Then we also have signed up Narcissa Pimentel, President Asia Pacific American Senior Coalition. Good morning. Why, you've been sitting there waiting patiently while everyone else has spoken. Good morning. And would you like to introduce yourself for the record, please?
Good morning. I am Narcissa Pimentel, Chair of the Asian Pacific American Seniors Coalition of Portland and Multnomah County. Our mission is to bring the Asian Pacific seniors together to work cooperatively with other organizations, local, state, and federal, to address the needs and advocate for services to to improve the quality of life of all Asian Pacific people. Our organization is composed of leaders of the different Asian Pacific communities, Cambodians, Chinese, Filipinos, Japanese, Laotian, Hmong, Nepalese, Palau, Samoan, and Vietnamese. Our motto is diversity is our beauty and unity our strength. We have been observing the Asian Pacific heritage since 1994 when we were first established. We celebrate them in the different senior centers, Asian and multicultural centers. This is one way to give the elderly something to do and to be known, and so because most of the elderly are the forgotten people in the background, particularly among the Asian Pacific people. They are afraid to get out. For the first time, I presented the idea in the last meeting of December of 1999 to the Commission of Aging Asian Affairs. And the board agreed that it is befitting to do it with us in Multnomah County, Oregon. Thus, the Asian Pacific Heritage Celebration 2000 was indeed a very successful venture in spite of the short time preparation. More Asian communities, Asian Pacific communities volunteered and joined. The seniors who participated were the most grateful because at last they are recognized and they are there, right there in the middle. And their own cultural heritage presentation, they did dance. They came in their authentic, colorful costumes with their ethnic musical instruments. This is a sign that they are coming out now. Because I said, no, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's the same people. Most of the Asian Pacific children who were born in America were trained by grandparents or parents were so excited to wear their colorful costumes that grandparents and parents brought with them in coming over to this country. And that is, was a very special occasion for them. Children took some time to learn how to act and perform the intricate dance steps. They were so happy they invited their classmates with parents to make them understand that they have their own cultural heritage too. Young adult high school teenagers did their folk dance with their costume from their own country of origin. They kept saying, at last, our classmates will now understand who we are and they will now respect us because they laugh at us when we talk and present anything about our culture. The stage was never empty from the start in the morning until the end at 6 p.m. Most of the public stayed enthusiastically taking pictures and applauding and waiting for some more, but it was dark already. Booths from the different Asian Pacific communities displayed pictures of interest from their country of origin, as well as artworks and crafts. People who manned their booths came in their colorful costumes and talked to the visitors about their country and their people. The food booths of the different Asian Pacific communities put up their food specialties. It was so nice to see that all the booths have long line of people awaiting for their turn to order their Asian Pacific delicacies. Some people came up and say, why are some of the Asian Pacific not included? Why did they not? I like those kind of food too. And we said, maybe in the coming year, 2000. Different government and private agencies have their booth to explain how people can access to their needs and to refer them to agencies like the Asian Family Center, the Portland Impact, Providence Healthcare, and many other agencies came over. And that was one way to get these Asian Pacific people because you have to outreach them from far away. You cannot find them because they're afraid to come out. In closing, may I request all of you your help for the financial support to subsidize the Oregon Commission the Oregon Commission on Asian Pacific Affairs in promoting and understanding and respecting our cultural heritage values that still runs in our blood, although we are now all one America. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Thank you.
Oh, I have another one here. One of the participants there who taught the Asian Heritage Celebration last May has made a great impact in our communities and families. This is her comment. It has provided more information and ideas among community leaders, educators, parents, and children. The awareness of our existence and why we celebrate. It also reminds our grandparents to share with us the importance of our culture and why we must keep and value them. We need a vehicle in which it allows us to preserve our culture and our heritage, and that is the Oregon Commission on Asian Affairs.
Thank you very much.
The author is Niradon Sanyet Tabor. She's a Laotian.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any comments?
Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not about this specific testimony, but the former chair of the commission in his testimony indicated, or in the question and answer period, indicated that one of the reasons it had been difficult to attract an executive director was the poor compensation level. And the numbers appear to me that the salary is budgeted at $43,000, with benefits bringing it up to $59,000. There are parts of my district that would find that a very attractive salary package.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Now, that is all the people that we have signed up. Is I'm assuming that's all the people that have anything to say. Is there anyone else? Okay. You've given wonderful testimony this morning. Obviously, you have a tremendous amount of support in your community, and we wish you the very best. With that, does our Stephanie want to say anything about tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Madam Chair and members, you have the Commission on Black Affairs before you.
Okay. That. If there's nothing further, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Can I get the commission for any of the favors?
Is legislative, is budgeted in the legislature?